Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
Bulldogs defeat the Knights in an incredible performance by the Bulldogs. And I tell you what, I'm starting to get excited. Are they close to premierships? You know, maybe even top eight is a bit too far to ask, but you are seeing the skeletons of something being built that's great, in my opinion. You know, at the start of the year, when we talked about Stephen Crichton being the captain, a lot of people scoffed at us. Very quiet now. It hasn't been mentioned, hasn't been talked about, but nearly everyone in the NRL has talked about the guts and the grit and the tight-knit group that the Bulldogs seem to be. And even when they lose, they put it all on the line. Guess who their captain is? It's Critter. I think he's been an outstanding leader. I think that with the Bulldogs, as I said, the fact that they're still missing players, the fact that they're going out and doing this, like, this is no disrespect, but their front rows is Hughes and Pilotu. I think he...
Patolo.
Went off with an injury. Max King. Like, we're talking about, you know, Hughes is relatively new to first grade. And they're going up against a front row with Saifiti, Leo Thompson. You know, this is a decent forward pack with the Knights, and they get the job done. But I tell you what typifies where the Bulldogs are at right now. Play of the game for me. They're 30-6 up. There's 11 minutes to go. And Hughes and Kickout make a try-saving tackle. This represents the new Bulldogs. They then defend repeat sets. They finish with a try-saver from Fox. They roll down the field in one set and score a try. That set sums up the whole game from both perspectives. First of all, the fact that they are 36 up and they defend the try. They don't need to. They've already won the game. It's game over. But then on the opposite side with the Newcastle Knights, you nearly score two tries and then you allow the Bulldogs to roll the whole field to score a try. Shows you where the Knights are at right now, and it shows you where the Bulldogs are at right now in regards to boys buying in and ripping and tearing. That set, that try saver from two big men in Hughes and Kickout, who would be absolutely gassed, sums up where the Bulldogs are at and why they're soon becoming everyone's favourite underdog. I really love what's happening at the Bulldogs.
Completely agree. I think you summed that up really well. And you know, the thing that I love is that they're not just getting home on grit. They're playing fucking good footy. Mm.
They scored 36 points.
Yeah, and I'd say like the one that, you know, we've spoken about a lot on this panel, and I think playing Connor Tracy at fullback is an absolute must moving forward.
Oh, for sure. Like, Taff was getting better, definitely week in, like, as the weeks were going on. Still wasn't fully convinced he was a fullback, but we've been quite strong from round one that if it's not going to be Critter, it has to be Tracy.
And to Taff's credit, I think his last month has been really, really good, like, above where I thought he could play. But when you put the class of Connor Tracy in there, it's day and night to me.
And Connor Tracy's never been given the opportunity to play fullback. I mean, he played so well at fullback for the Sharkies. You know, we were even questioning, do you bring Kennedy back in for the final series?
Yeah.
And so if you give him time to play there, all of a sudden it solves your Critter problem, where you're no longer even tempted to put Critter back there, and you can keep him in his best position, which he's the best centre in the world at. Yeah, Tracy at the back was outstanding.
Mm. In a side that we already know, or we thought, were lacking like quality in their middle forwards, off the top of the head, like this season, they've had Chris Patolo twice in the last 3 weeks, who's been injured 5-10 minutes into the games and left him a middle short. They had Poisso Farmer-Silly earlier in the year, who lasted a minute into a game and got a concussion, lost a middle forward. They're in that Roosters game that they got up for and won. They, like, Kurt Mann had a broken hand, Max King had a broken hand, whatever it was. So injuries everywhere, and they've still got up for it. And Guru touched on it, but we've seen in over the past 5, 6, 7 years, the Dogs at different times, when they lacked quality in their roster, they'd get up and have a bit of defensive grit and show plenty of heart at times, despite not getting wins. But they're looking so well drilled in attack. Like, yeah, the points are coming, their shape's terrific. There's been like team selections this year, including the weekend, where I've been like, Seraldo, like, what are you doing? They don't make sense. But they're coming off. The results have been terrific. So can't help but sit back and admire what the Doggies are doing at the moment. And said they're not just, it's not just ticker, they're doing it in stylish fashion.
Yeah, and also this isn't a win out of nowhere. They've been building towards this. They've been building towards this. They beat the Roosters. Obviously, that second half, you know, wasn't the best, but they had all those injuries. They go down to Melbourne, you know, so close to getting a victory. And then they go out and dust the Knights up. Like, the last month of footy, they've set a standard. This isn't a one-off game where you've gone, oh, wow, the Bulldogs have just come out of nowhere and upset someone. This has been building and building and building. From round one all the way to round seven, they've progressively essentially gotten better each week.
And as you pointed out earlier, mate, like you look at that squad and you go, where the fuck are the front row forwards? They lose one in the opening 3 or 4 minutes and they just make it work.
Like every single game, they make it work.
Yeah.
Like imagine this side when they go into the market and are able to either bring through a young fella or sign a, you know, a big front rower. And to be fair though, Hughes, I think Hughes has been outstanding this year.
He's been great.
He's been so good for him.
They've been so patient with him in his minutes and bring him into the starting team. He keeps getting named there and drops back often come kickoff, but he hasn't missed a beat.
And, like, he doesn't seem like the biggest body. Now, you never know until you see them in person, but mate, he just gets through his work. He fights all game. Every minute he's on, he's fighting for every metre. He's fighting in defence. Then you got Max King, who's also, you know, getting through his work.
100-1, Big Sam Hughes, first try on the weekend as well. Well done to those who got on.
Mate, they've got a front row forward who's playing SG ball on the weekend. I had the short ball on my podcast the other day. Really good follow on Instagram for your juniors and whatnot. And he mentioned this Seve, this front row forward for Canterbury, who took on the Roosters in the SG ball. And the Roosters were red hot favourites to win this comp, and he got the better of them on the weekend.
Yeah, wow.
So one to watch there.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Max King, 48 minutes. 15 runs, 130 metres, 50 post contact, tackle break, 23 tackles, only one miss, no errors.
They had Bailey Hayward, who's...
I really like Bailey Hayward.
Yeah, like being what? He's been a halfback coming through,
Rudy? I thought he was a hooker.
Yeah, halfback hooker,
Halfback hooker coming through, and Blake Taff, a fullback halfback. And I saw that and I'm like, questionable bench selection. Then they lose Patolo in the first few minutes of the game. The last middle forward on their bench was Curtis Moran. I'm like, oh my God.
He's
like,
barely a middle forward.
I'm like, how the hell are you going to recover from this? And they came out and won 36-12 and dominated their middles. Mm.
I have been so much more judgmental than I'm willing to admit of his team lists. Mm. Like when we get to kick off, especially, and he's making changes all over the place, I just sit there and go, what the fuck is Seraldo doing? But the times when I've been the most judgmental, they've put it on their best performances.
Yeah.
Results are results.
The thing is this, is that, you know, yes, it's only 7 rounds, but Seraldo is starting to show why there were such big raps on him. Now, it's a long season, could all go to shit, but he was extremely, you know, last year with all the dramas and everything going on, what I admire about Seraldo is that he was very strong in the direction he wanted to head. He didn't hedge his bets. He didn't cave to the kind of outside noise of going, okay, this isn't working. He didn't even cave into the results. You know, they played shockingly last year. He has gone in there and said, we're doing it my way, this direction. You're either on board or you're not. And I'm willing to almost live and die by the sword. And right now, at the moment, it's working. It's working. And it takes a lot of – imagine being a rookie coach, how many people in that first year that they had will be telling him to change this, change that. For example, his defensive system. They would have been going, mate, you need to change – it clearly doesn't work. You know, you need to change it for the squad you've got. And he said, nah, I'm actually going to change my whole squad and bring in a squad that I think can actually suit this defensive system. And he's nailed it. Now, round seven, long year. But so far, it looks like the current group that he's got are unbelievably on board. Like, they are so on board. There's an argument he made they're as committed as any of the top-tier sides. Now, are they going to deliver the results, top-tier sides? No. But there's an argument made that when it comes to commitment to the cause and to each other and, you know, surround those coaching methods, it seems like they're just as committed as any of the top-tier squads.
And when you talk about commitment to the cause, like, as I said before, the amount of HIAs they've had to middles and stuff, Josh Curran every week must just go, oh boy, here I go again.
Yep.
I'm going to have to play 70 through the middle again. And he's doing it week in, week out.
Grand Theft Auto meme for Josh Curran.
Here we go again.
You know another guy I want to shout out, Bailey Haywood. There's something – he is slick. He is slick. I really like what he's – you know, he's not necessarily setting the world alight or whatever, but even just little things like he's connecting players through the middle when he almost plays as that 13 with Reed and obviously the halves. Like, I think he is he's one to watch for sure.
Got a very good understanding of the game. Just his timing and just everything he does – is very like, and I've only seen him play a handful of times, but I remember watching him in that trial at the start of the year. Like, watching him in that trial, you would have thought he was a 5 or 6 year halfback.
He was outstanding in the trial, outstanding.
Can they carry him and Taff on the bench, you think?
I mean, it's working at the moment, but
yeah. I still don't like
it. I don't like it,
but worked on the weekend, so.
I don't like, too. I mean, especially with Morin, like, if you had another big front rower, then maybe, but the fact that they've got such a small bench. Mate, look, it's hard to argue against it when it works.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hard to argue against it when it works. All right, now on to the Knights. Kalen Ponga looking to be out for 2 months minimum. But outside of that, it's obviously devastating news. But, mate, this side is it's not looking good for the Knights. It is not looking good.
I don't know about you guys, but the change in the halves, that shocked me. Surprising. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. Like, I think we're into round seven now, and that's their third halves pairing.
Listen to this. When Cogger got dropped, since being recalled to this as the starting halfback, lost to the Roosters by 2. Sweet. They smashed the Dragons, who have been really good the last month or so. They had that really tight loss to the Warriors over in NZ. They beat the Storm, and then they chop him. Like, really?
Yeah, wild. I couldn't make any sense of that situation. I don't know. Like, there's just like they're a team that is struggling for continuity, and that's so evident. They just keep chopping and changing the key positions. Like, I don't know. I'm just struggling to make sense of it. Even to the point where when Cogger was in, he started on the left, and they moved him to the right when Jackson came back in. Like, it's just making life so hard for them.
It just looks like they were chalk and cheese, the attitude of these two teams on the weekend, weren't they? Mm. What the Doggies did there and how badly they wanted that and had a statement to make, as they have all year. The Knights just went out there and just kind of looked like... it looked like they were resting on the laurels and what happened in that glorious run at the back end of last year where everything just came so easy to them. And the difference is, to me, it looks like a team who they use the ball early. They're not willing to get in the contest in the middle. They're not willing to win the middle and earn that right to use the ball, because they're using the ball and they don't look like going through or around teams. The difference is last year, they did earn that right. Mm. They had one of the best defensive records in the competition. Their middles were firing, and even like the signs leading into that 9 in a row were really good. And then the floodgates opened and they were playing full of confidence. This year, they haven't earned that right to just throw it around and hit Greggy Margie on the wing, expect that the space will be there. Mm. The attitude looks an issue.
Yeah, I think the environment right now, like, how does Hastings... so Hastings gets dropped initially, gets back into the side, then Cogger gets dropped. It's like, how does it change that much? We're in round seven.
Mm. Nope.
Like, round seven. And meanwhile, you look at the other side, Drew Hutchinson has been pretty average since coming in. And Serraldo's just gone, nah, I'm backing in. And it seems like there's an environment of the players going, hell yeah, like, you know, you've backed him in. He's been, you know, pretty average, but at the same time, like, they're getting results.
Yeah.
They're getting results. I just look at the Knights and you go, how would it feel being a half right now at the Knights going, I could literally get dropped. If I've once, two, because like Cogger, for example, last game, he's been average. He hasn't been bad.
Like, yeah, that's the thing, that none of them have actually been so bad. You're like, oh, they've got to drop someone. But they just keep doing it.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah. Like, I just, the environment looks, it looks like it's not a good environment at the moment. On top of that, their line speed compared to the Bulldogs is like, it's honestly night and day. The Knights, sorry, the Bulldogs, and granted they had more line breaks, but that comes from running hard, averaged nearly 10 more metres a set than them. So they averaged 37.5 metres compared to 28.5 metres of the Knights. If that isn't ripping and tearing, I don't know what, like.
Doggies completed 66%, Knights 73%. They lost by 24 points.
That's what I mean. Like that, yeah, that to me says
all those stats.
No line speed. It says when we do get the ball, we're not ripping into their line. Nearly 9 metres a set, average less. Crazy, crazy stat.
And, I mean, is it only Max King from Canterbury that would start in Newcastle's front row rotation?
Well, he'd be on the bench for sure. He wouldn't start.
Yeah. He's like, the only one that would even have a sniff of it.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, he probably like. Yeah, probably plays off the bench.
And honestly, he'd be fighting on that bench. Mm. He'd be fighting for that spot each week. We'll talk about quickly the incident in the tunnel. Like, we've been giving Hetherington praises for, like, keeping a lid on it. And then just, it's all been building up. Look, apparently he's going to get a one-match ban. Just silly. You know what? You know what also it's silly from? What are the Newcastle staff doing letting him stand there? Whilst Marnie, wait for him, whilst Marnie's walking down the, get him in the, like.
Put him in a cage.
You know what he's like. You know what he's like. Yep. And you allowed him. And look, I'm not absolving Hetherington of responsibility. I'm 100% silly, silly brain explosion from Hetherington. He's been so good for so long, but this has held him back, you know, throughout his career. But like, what are you doing allowing him to walk up to Marnie, shape up, and throw a push punch to his chest? Like, surely go, mate, come on, like, let's go. They did it, and also they did it after he did it. So it's like, it's not like they couldn't do it. Bizarre, bizarre.
And like, even in the moment, you could tell the ref read the situation. He sent him off. He brought time, then sent Reid. Like, he did him all the favours he could.
Like, insane to me. Like, what do you, just get him in the dressing room, and as soon as you see him waiting, it doesn't take Einstein to go, I wonder what Hetherington's waiting for.
Yeah.
Also, what a great look. There's the game's done, essentially, what they were binned in the 76th minute. You're getting absolutely towed up by, you went into the game as narrow favourites, I think it was. You're down by 24 points, and you sit there and wait and shape up to a bloke half your size. It's like,
that's just a brain explosion.
Yeah.
Just a brain explosion. Great, and, you know,
I was just going to say, great chat from the ref, sending Marnie off. You're being silly. Off you go. Yeah.
Silly Billy. That's a silly
school teacher stuff. Yeah,
love that. and like, people are going, "Oh, Reid Marnie, he's not so lippy without his team." Yeah, no shit. They're playing rugby league. It's his job to be a pest. Like, yes, back in the day, he wouldn't have been able to be a pest because he would have got knocked out. But he is playing, like, where he's playing right now. It's his job to roll up the big fella to do something silly. Like, what are we talking about here? No shit, he wasn't yapping to his face. It's like. Like, the Reid Marnie on the field is not the same Reid Marnie off the field. If Reid Marnie was off the field and carried himself like that, then yes, 100%, you should back your chat up. He's on the field. He is trying to niggle and get under his skin. You know, it's the same blokes talking about old school this, old school that. What happened to what happens on the field stays on the field? What happened to that old school adage? Like, to expect Reid Marnie to go, yeah, let's square up. It's like, oh, my God. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, He riled him up intentionally, knowing he'd get a brain explosion. He got it. And then when he got pushed, he was like, well, I'm not going to throw a punch back because I'll get knocked out. And also, I don't purport to be a tough guy. Like, when has Reid Marnie ever tried to be a tough guy? Like, no, he's niggle. He's about getting brain explosion. Never understand that. So I will say, though, 3.5 minutes to go, what I love from Critter, he was angry that they'd gotten caught up in the niggle. and he was blowing up at his players, going like, "Get back one more set." You know, for all the brain explosion chat about Hetherington, I do say from Reed, from the Bulldogs' perspective, Reed, there's a time and a place for it. You're up by 30 or whatever. There's no need. There's no need for any of this stuff. If you want to niggle him early in the game to get him in the bin, I understand that. But at the end of the game, when you've already won, you're just putting yourself under pressure that you don't need to. So just silly from Reed as well.
And you've had a blinder too.
You've killed it.
Just walk away.
Let it go.
You're in the team of the week, for God's sake.
For God's sake.
Chill out.
And so that's the one little thing where I just silly. To be honest, brain explosion from both players. It really was. Knights, I'm very concerned, especially with Kalen Ponga out. They do seem like a volatile team that I don't know how they handle that.
What do you do at fullback? Do you bring in Price? Do you play Gagai there?
Probably bring
Armstrong,
in
Price. Armstrong, Sharp.
I'll probably bring Price in. Price. Just give him a crack, see how it goes.
They need points because they've lost the bloke that they go to every set, 4 points. Mm. And look, I'll be honest, I don't know enough about David Armstrong, Fletcher Sharp. Did Sharp debut last year or Armstrong? Played a game or two?
Fletch hasn't debuted yet.
No. But we know there's points in Will Price. Whether or not he's ready for the NRL starting weekend, I don't know, but there's points in the kid.
Yeah. So, and I think that's what you take away from your Slaboles Cup this year. He's got points in him. Defensively, he's struggling. You put him at fullback.
If he's getting to if he's getting to fullback and he's missing tackles, you can look at that then.
And that's where in New South Wales Cup he's playing 5'8".
So if he's getting 5'8", night and day compared to fullback defensively, if that's a problem when he comes into first grade, you can address it then. But I think to not pick him when the other players are rookies that haven't, are they exploding in New South Wales Cup right now? The other players?
They got done 52-6 on the weekend.
That's not
quite exploding.
You know, for example, if they had a young fullback that was just killing it in New South Wales Cup, then obviously you go him first.
Mm.
But I think Price has been playing really well in attacking.
David Armstrong the week before against the Roosters, they won 30-26, scored one, had 3 line breaks and 12 tackle breaks.
Okay.
That's good going. He
was the right winger in the trial.
Ran for 282 metres, so that's good going.
Okay, then you probably put Armstrong in there.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing fullback. And maybe you consider putting Will Price back to fullback and seeing how he goes.
Mm. Armstrong the week before scored a double in a 30-24 win over the Dragons. That was on the wing. Fletcher Sharp was fullback that week.
Oh, shit.
It's all over the show.
Well, I don't friggin' know. Just play someone there. Jeez Louise. I'm actually quite concerned about the Knights at the moment. I don't know how they're going to go. Even with KP, they were not.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Great. Now without KP, looking good.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.